to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There's something in here, the way it is worded, it really arrested my attention. So I thought, well, I'll just say a few things about it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. Now, obviously, he's writing to believers or to the brethren or to the church there at Corinth, which, as we know, always contains lost and saved. Any situation where people gather together, that's usually the case, tares and wheat, whatnot. But he says, Paul says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed or anathema, and that no man or woman or boy or girl can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So that had me thinking and looking. So let's just look at, just kind of go down verse 1, verse 2, verse 3. First of all, he says, I'm talking to you about spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts, okay? Now, contrary to contemporary thought, a gift is not a gift if you receive it or don't receive it. The gift is thought of, it's initiated in the mind of the person giving it. So that's the same thing with salvation. It's not offer. It's not an offer to anyone. It never says it even in the Bible. God offered his son. He offered his son to the Father. Offered him up to the law for sacrifice. But it doesn't say anything about offering just the sinners, because that's another contemporary thought. It's like divine cooperation. God's done this, now you got to respond. No, that's not, it's all of grace. So concerning spiritual gifts, it's all of grace. Or what we have is by the absolute pure and free grace of God in Jesus Christ. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be ignorant like you used to be. I don't want you to be ignorant as unbelievers or as religious hypocrites, because they think they can earn salvation by their good works, or they can produce self-produced good works that God would be impressed with and that God wants or needs our help. No. Concerning spiritual gifts, it's just like salvation. I don't want you to be ignorant. And then he goes back and tells them that they were, because they were Gentiles. Verse 2. This was, were what we are by nature from birth and proved by practice. Verse 2. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Dumb idols. This is what you were. You were, past tense. This is what we were by nature, from birth, and we proved it by practice. Well, it doesn't have, whether we're religious or not, every man's religious. Every man was created to worship God. And then when Adam fell in the garden, they're going to worship something. Not God, something. But let's look at this a little closer. You know you were Gentiles, carried away. That word carried away means to put to death. Put to death. You were carried away, captive, to put to death. You were carried away. You were led away, led astray. You could not prevent it, is what he's saying. Dumb idols. Well, we saw that last week. Dumb means mute. Meaningless. And that's the worship of useless things. That is anything that takes the place of the God of the Bible. So it doesn't matter if it's cars, if it's motorcycles, if it's sports, if it's sports figures. It doesn't matter if it's money, if it's job, if it's position. Anything that is alluring. And we're not there yet, but in 1 John, we know that the lust, you know, the world, the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, that's all that the world has to offer. So this is what we were. We were by nature Gentiles, carried away to our own death, dumb idols, mute, meaningless, and it doesn't have to be a statue of Mary in the front yard. It could be that thing in your front yard that you want to make sure all the neighbors see. Whatever. You know how we are. Thus we were indeed led. And he says, even as you were led. Even as you were led. That means you were induced. Induced by your own nature. Induced to follow these dumb idols. That's induced by our own nature, sinful nature, by Satan, and by the world. By lifting up anything before your eyes that's pretty, it glitters, gotta have it, gotta need it. That's, we were induced, led to such. For on our own, without mercy, we will be induced to false worship, false gods, and determined to serve them or to serve ourselves. And then verse 3 is the main one verse I want to get to. Wherefore I give you to understand. This is basically saying the same thing. I would not have you to be ignorant. I want you to understand this, brethren. We who have been called out from self, from will worship, from idols, to serve the living and true God. 1 Thessalonians 1:9. I want you to understand that no man can speak by the Spirit of God, can say or can call Jesus accursed. This is what the Pharisees were doing. This is what the Jews were doing who didn't understand the truth. Is they were saying that Jesus was accursed. And of course, anyone that hangs on a tree, so they're partly right. Anyone that hangs on a tree is accursed. But blessed, they can call the blessed Son of God accursed or reproached. They were reproaching the Savior. Or the other word for accursed is abomination. Or let his name be denounced and detestable. This is what man's nature thinks of Christ. No matter how sweet your neighbor is, no matter how religious your neighbor is, or how religious people think they are, if they don't know the gospel, this is what they call Christ. Accursed. Detestable. They denounce him. He's an abomination. And we did this in our state of unregeneracy. No, you were Gentiles. You were carried away with dumb idols. Even as you were, nobody is born speaking of the truth. Nobody comes to the knowledge just, you know, I just came one day. No, you were brought by the sovereign grace of God. This is what we did in a state of unregeneracy. But now we see, love and adore and value, nay, we the Savior himself. Having been gifted, remember the first verse, spiritually, to behold our kinsman redeemer. So all who are lost or unconverted speak of such negative things in their heart, and we used to, but now we don't. Now we don't. Furthermore, what do we do? Verse 3 and the latter part. This is what I was looking at. This is now, we'll get to it here in a second. No man or woman, our boy or girl, can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. You mean to say, all I got to say is, Jesus is Lord, you know me better than that. That's easy believism, that's nonsense. Now this is not merely a verbal assent. It's not a mere words that we speak out of without affection. Because we know Judas did the same thing. And he was accursed. And James says the devils believe and they tremble. But they don't fear. They don't have a saving knowledge of God in Christ. And how many times did Christ cast out devils? And one in particular, and they said, Jesus, the Son of God, are you come before the time? They knew who he was. So this is not just this passage here in verse 3, the latter part. No man or woman or boy or girl can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. So it's just not a verbal assent. It's not a checklist. I know this doctrine, that doctrine, boom, boom, boom. No. This is today, this is what today's easy believism, religion is, and I despise it, and it's not of God. So if you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed Lord, you, according to our text, do so by the Holy Spirit. No man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20. This is what I'm saying. And this should be comforting to us. If we have said that Jesus Christ is Lord, sovereign, ruling, reigner, Lord, we can't do so unless the Holy Spirit has caused us to do so. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So, I don't want to shut out the kingdom of God for any, I don't want my preaching to shut anybody out. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to say you're saved, you're not. We don't do that. But I want to make it as wide as he makes it in this text. Matter of fact, the message that Darvin Pruitt preached, the whosoever gospel, that's true. Because I can, you know, we get people who are hyper-Calvinist or hard shells or whoever they are, and I'm not done preaching yet. So if you believe, it is by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, why is this true? This has to be true. No one can say, no sinner can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. And we noticed and seen that this is not just a Jesus, the Holy Ghost. I was going to school. I've told you this story before, times before, and there was a Pentecostal. I'd never really been around Pentecostal, being a good Methodist boy. I didn't know anything about it. And this guy, he just starts talking, Satan was after me and everything. And I just said, Jesus, you know, and everything is better. I was just like, what are you just talking? He just, what is this? You know, and then he started babbling. And, what's that? That's tongues. Whatever. So we're not saying that. This is not what this passage is saying. But I do know this passage is true. Why? First of all, because of our depravity. Because of our fall in Adam in the garden. In Adam, the scripture says, all die. Spiritually, all die. Dead people have no understanding of, anything spiritual. But we saw in 1 John that we know him. We know him. We have an understanding. So because of our depraved nature, because of Adam's sin in the garden and what happened there, completely fell, will, body, soul, spirit, mind, everything fell. We fell in Adam. We are blind, deaf, we cannot reason, we cannot deduce, we cannot move one muscle to the Savior. Ephesians 2. We are dead in trespasses and sins. And then look with, you know, First Corinthians chapter 2. Turn back a few pages or a few chapters. 1 Corinthians 2. It says in verse 14, but the natural man, that's what we are from birth, receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, as opposed to 1 John 5, we know them, because these are spiritually discerned. Again, back to our text. I'm speaking to you concerning spiritual gifts. We cannot know them. They are they are spiritually discerned, cannot know them. So, because of man's depravity. Strike one. Strike two, I know this world. I know what's in my heart. I know what's in my flesh. Philippians, turn to Philippians chapter 2. This is so anti, this is just anti-man. This is anti, this is grace, but this is not what we're born with. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who Christ Jesus, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, verse 7, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And verse 8, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This is the second reason why. Just, it's not in this passage in verse 3, the latter part is not speaking of just a verbal enunciation of Jesus as Lord. Man's natural draw is for pomp, is for show, is for glitter and gold, is to be noticed, to be seen, to be the center of it all. That's our draw. That's what we are. But Christ, he came in a place away from the limelight. He wasn't born in Jerusalem. He was born in Bethlehem. He was born in a stable with lowly parents. You look at them, you read a little bit about them, they were nobodies. The Jews had their king come in pomp and circumstance. They had him come in the throne of David, the scepter, all these different, that's what they thought. But every time the Jews tried to present Christ as their king, what did he do? He withdrew himself. Hence, Christ was more interested in the heart substance than in physical or material substance. The same is true of his followers, and his people, and his building, and the fellowship. We're more interested in what's going on here, in here. What's being said is the truth being preached. Do not be embarrassed or ashamed regarding his people or this building or this church or this fellowship. Actually, you know, we look at it from where we came from, meeting in a rented building, meeting in a home. This is like a palace. So, you know, it isn't in Jackson. But that, I don't care. I just don't care. I just don't care. The glory and honor of God is more seen here, thankfully, than it is ever in any of this world's greatest capitals on earth. We need to be thankful. We have this place. It's something. It's something. And not because I'm here, because I consider myself the less than least, but you're a sheep. I'm an under shepherd. And if God gives me grace, I'm just going to continue to preach simply, not complicated, the grace of God. I'm going to continue to speak of spiritual gifts. We know where we all come from. We know where we've all been. We know, and I pray that God would continue to show us this. He would continue to show us the pit from which we've been dug. We used to say Christ was accursed, he was detestable, we didn't care for, but now we say he's Lord. He is sovereign, immutable, unapproachably holy, and yet we approach him. How? Through and by Christ. Can we say Jesus Christ is God, the sovereign one, one who can do all things according to his good pleasure as he sees fit? Remember, I speak to us concerning spiritual things. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. If you from the heart can lay your supposed goodness in the trash heap and can claim your all in all to be by him and through him, the glorious substitute of sinners. Thank God the Father for choosing you. Thank God the Son for dying for you. And thank God the Holy Spirit for enabling you to say, Jesus is the Lord. And that actually, I skipped over, that's Jehovah. Jesus is Jehovah by the Holy Spirit. May he take the words and bless them to us. And may he get all honor and glory. Matt, would you close us, please?